Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sermon text this morning, Proverbs chapter 9, beginning with the 8th verse. Do not warn a mocker, or he will hate you. Warn a wise person, and he will love you. Give advice to a wise person, and he will become even wiser. Teach a righteous person, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Because through me, your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise to your own advantage. But if you scoff, you alone will bear the consequences. This is the word of God. Brothers and sisters, I invite you to join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends in Christ, we like to know wisdom. We like to hear a wise word, something that has ballooned on the internet. There's little graphics. We've got a wise saying. People like to share them. It seems like people are always hungry for them, looking for them, because they're looking for the cue for your next step in life. How am I going to move through this world? Sometimes a word of wisdom is very helpful. If I'm going in for a job interview, if I have something that I want to tell my daughter who may be wayward and straying and looking for meaning, if I have something that I want to share with a coworker or a neighbor across the fence, maybe it's the next little graphic that someone shared on social media, or the next wise word that you heard your friend say. People are looking to be wise in this world. I think that's important, especially as we look to our sermon text today and hear and understand that it's actually wisdom speaking to the hearer. As King Solomon writes, it's actually wisdom who's talking in the book of Proverbs, chapters 8 and 9, inviting people to a feast. Because there's also something called foolishness, inviting people to a feast, and it leads to death. It's poisoned food. But here you have wisdom saying the things that people need to hear, cueing us for our next step in life. And after all, isn't it the best place to look for wisdom but among the wise? And who is the wisest but the uncreated Creator himself? But he doesn't ask us to call him the uncreated Creator. He asks us to call him our Father. He's our Father by right of creation, by right of redemption, and by right of sanctification. This means God's our Father because he made us. He loved us enough to win us back from sin, and he's placed his Holy Spirit in our hearts to set us apart for holy living. You are among the wise when you are in Proverbs chapter 9. So welcome to this all-arching theme of the book. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So let's find some wisdom from this word of the wise, the kind of thing that's spoken throughout the book of Proverbs, so that we can know what the wise know. And the first step that we read of in the scriptures here is that the wise don't know it all. It said, warn a wise person and he will love you. Give advice to a wise person and he will become even wiser. Teach a righteous person and he will add to his learning. Whoa. A wise person doesn't know it all. Does that even make sense? Well, the wise knows there's room to learn. The wise person knows how that person's gained wisdom before. They've opened their hearts and their ears to more wisdom. They're teachable. They're coachable. Every coach knows what they're looking for in an athlete, someone who's going to listen, someone who's going to try to heed my advice. Every parent knows this too, how frustrating it is for a child who stubbornly has no ears for his or her parent. Oh, that can be troublesome, can't it? On the other side, when you've got a young one looking for wisdom, trying to improve, trying to get better, it can be a very beautiful thing. I was teaching a teen class a couple of years ago, and a young man said something that I still think about. I usually say something like, well, that's kind of an improper question. Put on my theology hat. That's an improper question because you're not thinking about other important things if you're asking that question. But this young man said to me, God doesn't always give us the right answers, but he does give us the right questions to ask. And I looked at him and I said, wow, great. Yes, you're half my age. Thank you. Thank you for that. I'm not going to forget it. And the girls at the table looked at, he happened to be the only young man in the class, so hey, it was a good plan for him to say that. But King Solomon, he knew this too. He knew what it was like to take his God-given wisdom from a dream and go and look at things, seek out things in this natural world. He would study plants, he would study animals, he would classify them. King Solomon, we get indications that he was wise in a way that we think of scientists and philosophers as wise. People were visiting him from Sheba. This was an important, wise person whose example we can follow to know that we can grow in wisdom. Because the wise could tell you they don't know it all. It's very important with a person's relationship to God. Because it's actually the first test of a human being whether they're going to correct God or they're going to be corrected by God. If you're going to be corrected by God, you're correct. If you are going to go and correct God, then it may not really be God you're correcting. And it certainly isn't God you're worshiping. This is very important. We oftentimes approach the scriptures and we think that if God's word doesn't fit our opinions, then the problem is with God, when in fact the reverse is often true. And this has to be the case if God is going to be God. After all, his ways are unsearchable. His judgments are righteous. This is how Martin Luther put it. He once wrote in reference to a psalm, if we knew his ways, he who is marvelous would not be incomprehensible. If we knew his ways. Some of you have asked me about this in some of your questions, private questions about the existence of God. And I think it's important for us to think about. And I've offered an illustration. I often use my dog. Today I'll use my baby because he's more exciting and new. But when I leave home, he doesn't know where I'm going. And he doesn't know what my schedule is like. He doesn't know who I have to speak with or why it takes me so long to come home. But lately when I come home, he's crawling to me. He's smiling. He's got his arms up. He wants me to hold him. He loves me. He knows I'll take care of him. He knows his mother or I will feed him and clothe him. And he has a place to sleep. He has all he needs. And yet, the fact that he doesn't know where we are at certain times of the day doesn't change any of that. In fact, when he doesn't know what I'm up to, I don't cease to be me. And if I correct him, he's going to have to understand that that's right. That's the way of things, because I know more things. You may disagree, but he will have to learn that. And how true is that in our relationship with God? We don't always know what he's up to. We don't always know why at times it doesn't seem like he's listening. And yet, that does not undo God. God does not cease to be God because we don't know everything about him. In fact, God has to be that way. Otherwise, he wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be big enough to be worshipped. Many times we run into problems because we can't imagine a God who would disagree with us. We read things that make us say, my God just wouldn't do this, or I cannot come to grips with a God like that, when in fact it's us who needs to be changed, because we're in a sinful state. We don't know it all, and we need a God who does. For such a person, in fact, who mocks and scorns the idea that they might be wrong, the Lord is of the mind that that individual actually shouldn't get warnings. Did you hear that? Do not warn a mocker, or he will hate you. Just think about that. It's not the foolish, mocking person that God warns. It's the wise, righteous person. We might find that that's backwards, because the righteous, wise person is supposed to be in this zone where they know it all and they wouldn't need any warnings. But in fact, God says the opposite. Wise people crave warnings. They love warnings. And in that way, they understand who God needs to be and his place in their lives. You might call it a healthy fear or a need for God. They know their need for the Lord. Our text continues, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." We talked about healthy fear in the children's message a little bit. It's standing in awe because of God's amazing grace and goodness. Yeah, there's certainly a strict law aspect to this. We need a healthy fear of certain things. We get an example when we see a speeding locomotive. There's something to be feared there. When we think of heavy machinery, there's a healthy fear of that. Don't get too close. Know how to operate that thing before you get behind the wheel. Skyscraper, we may fear the height of it, and that could be a healthy thing. Being in a work zone, we, in healthy fear, put on a hard hat because we don't want cinder blocks to crush us. It's a healthy fear, knowing the power that is out there. The symptoms of a disease, there's a healthy fear. There's something we need to be mindful of, take precautions against. God gives us all kinds of medical tools in subservience to facing things that take away our health. But all the while, mindful of the first and greatest fear that we ought to have, and that's God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's a helpful thing. Now, how can we then, with this kind of fear, approach God? After all, we read it in the scriptures, we know it from our lives. We know our sin, we know our worry, we know the times when we haven't put our trust in him. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord with dirty hands? We know what that's like, to know that God sees us. We're exposed. If not today, then on the last day, our wickedness will be exposed. But there's also a gospel aspect to this fear. There's also some really, really good things about the fear of the Lord that go beyond the depths of our sin. In fact, the psalmist says this in Psalm 130. "If you, Lord, were to keep a record of sins, who could stand? For there is forgiveness with you." Therefore, the conclusion he draws, based on forgiveness, not the sin part, the forgiveness part. He says, "Therefore, you shall be feared." I think one of the most beautiful things about having a fearsome, awesome God before whom we stand in reverence and respect is that it's a lot more fearful for things like sin, death, and the devil. You think it's tough to be God's friend and fear him, and cover your feet and eyes like the angels do because you know who you are before him. But just imagine what it's like for sin before a righteous, holy God. That enemy shakes in its boots. Just imagine what it's like to be deaf before a resurrected Lord. Now there is a fearsome God. Just imagine what it's like to be the devil whose plans will always be spoiled because he's just not powerful enough. God is still God. And God is still in charge. And this almighty, powerful, fearsome, eternal, personal, loving God is so fearsome that he can take away the sins of you. Even you. Every sinner here can come with the depths of fear and also tie that fear to faith that receives God's promises. Faith that trusts this word that forgives our sin. Faith that knows a God who's so fearsome against our sin that he went to the cross for it. A God who forgives. A God who looks on us with holy blessings. And in this way, as the wise know, the fear of the Lord is really just the beginning. Their wisdom has only just begun. See, the wise fear the Lord in this way. They don't ever advance beyond the beginning. The word, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The word for beginning is not the same word as you get in the beginning of the Bible, where in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1, verse 1. It's not, the beginning of wisdom isn't something in our rearview mirror that we just check and drive on by. We don't move beyond the good news of God. This word for beginning actually means starting point. It means first principle. And in this way, when Solomon says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, he's talking about every part of our life and lifestyle. Everything begins with the fear of the Lord as it's tied to faith in Christ Jesus. We don't step beyond that. We only step deeper into it. Deeper into the knowledge of how bad our sins are. And some of you know because you've explored the Bible and you trust what it says about sins to you. The picture doesn't get any better. The law only deepens. But at the same time, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So the gospel deepens even more. And it starts with the fear of the Lord. If you want to do more good works, if you want to do more good deeds, it starts with the fear of the Lord. Because we're only renewed in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior. You never move beyond the fear of a Lord who loves and forgives. And in that respect and that awe, God wants each and every one of the believers here today to start your life. Every facet of your life. Every point. If you're going to put it in a graphic, brothers and sisters, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let every part of your life start with that truth. That's what the wise do. That's what King Solomon says. And that's how Jesus wants us to think of God's holy will. Another saying of the wise. It's a saying that I'll leave you with by St. Gregory the Great. He says, it's more important to remember God than it is to breathe. Think about that. How important is it to breathe? Well, my lungs need oxygen. My blood needs to carry it throughout my whole body. And God's even designed it that I don't have to think about that. And yet, it's more important for body and soul, for our eternal soul, to remember God. First things first, brothers and sisters, not breathing, fear the Lord. First things first, the beginning of wisdom, fear the Lord. First things first, this awesome, reverential God of forgiveness, fear the Lord. Amen.